The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So chances are that most of you in this room are familiar with the Buddhist teaching on the Eightfold Path. That is, eight qualities, eight factors that we can develop and cultivate to support a path towards freedom, path towards awakening, or greater ease, contentment, and peace. We don't develop them, these different factors, just to develop them, but in fact they are part of a path, which implies that there is a goal. But then we don't want to get too tied up in having to reach a goal. So it can be helpful to think about these both in the bigger picture of why we're doing things and the smaller picture, more immediate experience of what are we developing, what are we cultivating. Many of you may know that these eight factors are right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. Today I'd like to talk a little bit about the first one, right view. Also sometimes translated as or interpreted as skillful understanding or wise view. Of course, this word right, it's how I learned it. So somehow in my mind, it's stuck in there. The word right is more about appropriate or in harmony than about being doctrinally correct or the opposite of morally wrong, right? It's right. I love this analogy that Gil gives. It's right as in a hammer is the right tool for a nail. It's a little bit more different with a crescent wrench. You could use a crescent wrench, but it's easier with a hammer. So right view has a number of aspects to it. One of them is pretty common, or so common sense or obvious. Just this perspective, the concept, there are causes and effects. Everything we do has consequences. This isn't rocket science, we know this. But part of what makes right view, is to thoroughly apply this understanding to everything. Everything. The things we do, the things we say, the thoughts that arise in our minds, and our relationship to those things that we do, that we say, and our relationship to our thoughts and our minds. Often we can't control what arises, for example, thoughts in our minds, but we can notice our relationship to them. And these will have consequences. There will be, they may be obvious or they may be subtle, but there will be consequences of whether we are meeting our experience with acceptance, openness, or whether we're meeting our experience with aversion, a strong wish that it were otherwise. This feeling that things just aren't quite right. Please make it go away. Right? I think we all have this. It's part of the human experience. So one way we can bring this perspective of noticing that everything has consequences is to also notice when we are lost in thought during meditation, mindfulness meditation, and we come back, and we notice that we've come back, we can just notice, like, what is the difference in that feeling there? Is there more freedom? Is there more ease? Or does it feel more constricted? Less ease, less freedom in that moment when we've come back. And then if we are can stay mindful for yet another moment, what is the next moment like? Does it lead us towards greater ease? Or does it lead us towards greater anxiety, tension, stress, worry, when we are fully meeting this moment, when we're fully meeting it? And then once we start to notice that there's consequences to how we meet the moment, it's just natural that it may take some time, but the way we meet moments will just naturally start to shift. Right? We'll just learn, oh yeah, this way starts to lead towards more suffering, more stress. This way starts to lead towards more ease. And so part of meditation practice is, A, to be able to meet more and more experiences that we may not even be aware that we're having, and B, to notice the consequences of whatever our experiences may be. Meditation helps quiet the mind, helps bring some clarity, helps kind of slow things down so that we can see this cause and effect more clearly, more thoroughly. And then, of course, another aspect of right view is to apply this understanding that everything has consequences, that there's cause and effect, specifically towards suffering. Stress, tension, anxiety. Right? In the Buddhist teachings, we call this the Four Noble Truths. This awareness that there is suffering, there is a cause. There can also be a cessation, an end to that suffering. And there's a way leading to the cessation of that suffering. And for probably most of you are familiar with this, and that way that's leading to the end of the suffering is the Four Noble Truths. It's the Eightfold Path, which includes right view. So we kind of have this circle going. But it's just a reminder that that right view is part of the Eightfold Path, which is part of the way towards freedom, towards suffering. So in this way, kind of the Eightfold Path is part of a natural unfolding towards greater ease. But you may agree with this, you may have heard all about this, you may have heard it in many talks. But you may say, you know, it's not so easy. I may understand that this perspective is helpful to be looking at what causes suffering, what causes the ending of suffering, what are the consequences of my actions. But the Buddha recognized this, and there's a short little teaching on what can support right view. What can support keeping this in mind? What can support or assist having this? And he identified five things that assist right view. The first one is sila, virtuous behavior, morality, ethics. This makes sense that you start to see that if you're paying attention to your behavior, you start to see that when you behave in a way that's ethical, doesn't cause harm to others or to yourself, you start to see the consequence. Oh, there's greater ease this direction. When you're paying attention to your behavior, you just start to notice where there is suffering, what there isn't, and you're paying attention to what are the consequences of your actions. That's part of how we define ethics. Is it harmful to others or to yourself? What are the consequences? So ethical behavior, sila, is one of the supports for right view. The second one is learning. In Pali, it's the word for hearing. That is, that at the time of the Buddha, it's like hearing the Dharma, like hearing teachings. So going to Dharma talks, reading Dharma books, listening to podcasts, right? These are all things that can support our practice and can remind us, oh yeah, these are the teachings. This is what's important. This is the direction I'm going. So maybe be inspired by what we hear as well. And the third aspect that supports right view is discussion. Talking with others. Sharing our experience in a way that feels appropriate to the relationship we have, right? Not oversharing when that's not appropriate, but sharing when it is. And talking about the Dharma, talking about our experience, talking about our understandings. Recently, I was encouraged to, a number of us were encouraged to take this, the Harvard Implicit Bias Test. It's a way that measures some of your unconscious bias that you may have towards other people. And I took this test. There's a whole battery of tests, I think maybe like 10 or 15 of them. I took a few of them. And I discovered that, you know, I do have bias towards some people. And I was sharing with my friend, like, how much shame I had about this, right? I felt like this terrible feeling, like I'm a bad person. But as I was sharing, she reflected back to me, Dana, you just need to know that this is what's happening. You don't need to add shame on top of it. Now that you're aware, just bring your awareness to this. Bring your awareness to how it feels and how you're acting. And that's what the practice is, not to like make ourselves feel worse. That was so helpful to have my friend point out to me what I was clung to. I had this idea of myself as a good person who wouldn't have this bias. And then when I, you know, received data that in fact I did have bias. So in this way, having discussions with friends or Dharma, other Dharma people, they don't have to be Dharma people, of course, but can really help us with right view, show us where we're stuck, what we're holding on to. The fourth aspect that can help us with right view is calm, right? This is common sense, right? It's more difficult to see clearly when we're caught up and busy and frantic and anxious. So if we can cultivate some calmness in our lives, that can help us to see some of the consequences of our actions and also to see, oh, I'm having suffering right now because of these conditions that were created in the past, right? That's the other part of right view, right? Cause and effect. We're experiencing the effects of some earlier causes and conditions. It's easier to see that connection when there's some calmness. And then the fifth aspect that can support right view is insight. That is, just to, when we have some calmness and with mindfulness practice, in Pali the word is vipassana, so with mindfulness practice we can start to see the connections to things. And we can start to see our relationships to things, to our experiences of what's happening. Then we can find our way with, oh, this leads to greater freedom. This leads to greater suffering. Right view, in some ways, is just that, holding this perspective. What is leading to greater freedom? What is leading to greater suffering? So these five aspects that support right view, ethical behavior, learning, discussion, calmness, and insight, I think we could apply this to all factors of the Eightfold Path. And it just reminds us that a way towards greater freedom is to live a life that is simple and disciplined, and to practice meditation, and to have good friends. Something that in itself kind of supports greater peace and happiness. So with that, I wish you all finding your way towards greater freedom and less suffering. Thank you.